Welcome to the Springs Church Podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives. Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness. Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God. Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how Holy Spirit, the Bible, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
Good morning. I am in the same boat if you almost didn't make it to church this morning. That would have been bad. No message. Although it would have just been an all-worship Sunday, and I would have loved that. So, well, my name's Eden, if you don't know me. Big sis, one of many, to Pastor Zach, and love this church. Grew up here and ventured over to Calgary to be a part of the Calgary plant there and met my husband there, and so I didn't leave, and have a family, 3 kids under the age of 5, and life is very busy but very rich and rewarding, and amongst all of that, I love teaching the Word. I don't know, maybe it's because my grandpa, my grandma, my dad, it just kind of got in my bones just watching everyone do it. And there's something so special about the Word of God. There's nothing like it. And, you know, as we sang this morning, we were singing the Word of God over our lives. It wasn't just some fun words, some beautiful poetry that someone penned together for us to entertain us before the message. I encourage you, whenever the Word is concerned, give your heart to it, lean in, incline your ear, because it's something special, it's something powerful that's orchestrated by the Spirit of God. And we really can't take any credit for it, but when we receive it, and we marinate in it, and we let our life change by its words and by how it calls us to live and to be all that God made us to be, it's transformative. It's all-consuming in the best ways, and it makes you see life completely different from maybe how you were living before. And blessed are those who get to learn it from infancy. Blessed are those who get to just learn. But you know what? No matter what age that you come to the Word of God, it is no respecter of person. And when the Word comes into a heart and a mind, even one that maybe has been tormented, that has tried to live in its own power, its own strength, it doesn't matter the state you're in. The Word of God is the Word of God. And when you apply it to a situation, it brings wholeness, it brings freedom, it brings truth. And that is something to be excited about. That is something to give yourself to. You know, today's message came inspired by one verse. Some of you are like, yes, it's going to be a quick message today. You know me, I don't got just one verse for you today, but it was inspired by one. A verse that I had heard many times growing up as a child, and a verse that I knew was really important. I knew as I heard many speakers talk about it, and as I read it in books, as a teenager, and even today, as I listen to messages on podcasts and YouTube, and as I just take in as much a word as I can in a day, I can see the weightiness of it. And I know many of you will know this verse, and I'm going to try to tackle this beautiful principle, this beautiful life lesson that God has for us in His Word, but it starts with 3 words. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Many of you know. It's a big verse. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know, the Amplified Version is what I have for us today, and it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. Above all that you guard. If we break down the Word, and you're going to kind of see some insight into how I study and meditate the Word, you can literally go word by word in a verse and get revelation that gets you excited about how God made you to live and how His Word works in us. And it's found in Proverbs, this verse. Keep and guard your heart. I looked up the definitions of keep. And keep breaks down in two parts. Keep says to have or retain possession of. It's very clear that your heart is your heart. Yes, God made it. Yes, ultimately, we belong to God. We belong to the one who made us. But because he loves us more than anything, he gave us the freedom to choose how we're going to live, who we're going to be, what we're going to think, what we're going to believe. And he gave us free will. He didn't call it his heart that he loaned to you. He called it your heart. You are the possessor. I am the possessor of my heart. And the second definition says to cause to continue in a specified condition, position, course, etc. Very cool. So our heart is meant to continue in a specified condition. There is a way that we are to keep our heart. And I love that the Word of God holds nothing back. It teaches us over and over again how to do this. And we're going to dive into that today. Then it says to guard your heart. If we're guarding something, it's precious. It's valuable. It's of significance to God, to the maker of everything, to the creator of this world. He gave you something that's so special that it's to be guarded. It's to be protected. And guard breaks down into watch over in order to protect or control. You are the controller of your heart. And the second definition is to protect against damage or harm. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, that's too late, Eden. My heart's been damaged. Well, I've got good news for you. There's a promise for more than you could ever imagine. Any area, any situation, any circumstance. And when it comes to the heart, Psalm 147:3 says that he heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds, curing their pains and their sorrows. Only he can do that. Only he can heal the heart. Notice he doesn't call you to heal it. Thank the Lord. I'll keep and guard it. Lord, you heal it. I think that's a good partnership right there. Amen. So I pray today that if you came in here brokenhearted, if you feel like your heart's been smashed to smithereens, if you feel like you've got pieces that are waiting to be mended, I pray that through this message today that you'd give them to Jesus, that you'd realize he's the only one. He cares so much. He's so tender. He's so loving. He's so cautious. He wants to care for you in the way that matters to you because we are all so different. But never hold on to those broken pieces because he wishes above all things that you'd prosper, that you'd be in health, that your heart would see wholeness. But the only way our heart can see wholeness is if we take it very seriously, this call to us to keep and to guard our heart. And the beautiful news about being human is you can change. And this might be a new idea for some people, but I've seen it time and time again. I've seen people change without the Word of God, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of determination, a lot of will, a lot of mind over matter, a lot of slave labor almost to condition yourself to do what you want to do. And then I've seen people use the Word of God, put their faith in Jesus, put their trust in him, and see radical change. They've put effort in, but God adds his super to their natural. God gives grace to the faith we put in him, which is his ability in us. When we choose to trust God, even when not everything's lining up, even when not all the emotions, I don't worship God because I feel wonderful and everything's in place. And I do it because it's a choice. I do it because I know he loves me and I want my heart to know this is who we serve. This is who paid everything for us. And I'm not going to let anyone get in the way of me understanding and knowing him and marinating in his love letter to me called the Bible. And there's this posture, right? We learned that in the keep word. There's a posture that your heart needs to take, and it's good news. Because many of us have come out of self-rehabilitation. I don't even know if that's fully possible. Self-diagnosis, we just do everything ourselves. Do it the way we think we should do it. And the word cautions us against that and says there's a way that seems right to man. But in the end, it leads to death. We are not meant to trust ourselves. We are meant to be filled with the presence of God, to keep our eyes on him. And so when you hear keep and guard your heart and you think, whoa, this is a tall order. I don't think I could do that. Hang on. Everything God asks you to do, he equips you to do it when you put your faith in him. That's grace. That's grace. His power, his ability, his favor in you. But it takes you choosing to put your faith in him, to take a step in the direction. He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for a heart surrendered to him. So we keep and we guard our heart. Interesting that they are both action words. God is so active. Faith is an action word. It says faith without works is dead. And it says it's impossible to please God if you don't have faith, because he knows that's how you receive all of his precious promises. That's why it doesn't please him, because it pleases him to lavish you and to bless you and to spoil you. But we have to participate. We have to decide how we are going to keep and guard that precious heart that he's given us. And above all that we do, above all that we guard, the most important, the first one we should start with, because it affects every area of life, is the condition of our heart, our inner being. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as you think in your heart, so are you." So it's something critical about this heart of ours, that our thoughts affect our heart. And we're going to dive into that a bit. What is the heart? So as you think, that's who you are. Who you are, how you behave, what you believe, what you speak comes out of this special thing called a heart that God says you can keep, you can guard. Luke 6:45. Out of the virtue stored in their hearts, good and upright people will produce good fruit. Likewise, out of the evil hidden in their hearts, evil ones will produce what is evil. For the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit and will be heard in your words. So now we see that the heart is a producer. It's a treasure box, right? One translation of this verse says, out of the treasure, right? There's treasure in that heart, and you get to decide what you're going to keep in and what you're going to keep out. And the beauty of it is, even if you've been storing some really evil things in there, you can chuck it out today. With revelation, with knowledge of the word, with understanding of who God made you to be, you can always change. But let's not take credit, because the word says from glory to glory, he's changing me. So it's the most beautiful partnership in the world. It involves your will of surrendering your heart, surrendering your thoughts, surrendering what you choose to store in that heart. But then he does the changing. He does something transformative. God is a heart God. Everything he does in and through you, he does through your heart. Many Bible scholars over the years, and my father as well, believe in looking at the word, in studying, that the heart is the place where your spirit and your soul overlap. So the word tells us that you are a spirit. I mean, many of us probably just see ourselves as a body because we're very visual. We see this in the mirror every day. This is who I am. But let's get things straight. The word's very clear that God made you a spirit. So you are a spirit. You have a body, your glove. If you've been with loved ones as they've passed, and I've been with many, it is so clear that they are not their body. Because the moment that spirit leaves that body, I don't recognize them the same way. I don't feel them the same way. I don't see activity and being, and yet their body stays behind. And the word says for believers to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So here we see that the body is not you. Your spirit is you. And then it says you have a soul. You have a mind, will, intentions. And this mind, will, intention crosses over with spirit in your heart. Because the Bible says that your spirit, when you give your life to God, when you believe on Jesus, says whoever believes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. The word says when we invite Jesus into our life, when we believe on him, declare him our Lord and Savior, that God's presence immediately fills our spirit. His spirit and our spirit are one. 1 Corinthians says, hallelujah. I am one with God. Yes, he has a spirit, I have a spirit, but somehow he says we are one. That is amazing. Everywhere I walk, the full power, the full presence, the full Godhead living in me as a believer in my spirit. But I have to get my soul in line with who I believe I really am in my spirit. Because my soul is not saved. My soul is not transformed. My soul is up to me. God did what he did with Jesus. Jesus said, it is finished. The Bible says when God's spirit comes to dwell in your spirit, that the Holy Spirit seals it. Amen. Nothing can get in the way of you keeping and having and choosing to live in and by his presence. No one can tarnish your spirit. No sin can destroy who he is in you. You have his perfect peace, his joy. The same resurrecting power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And Holy Spirit has sealed that, the word says. I told you it wasn't just one verse, but if I gave all of them to you, it would be... You guys got to do some studying too. You can jot down some notes and look it up for yourself. But it's exciting because so heart, we believe, is the place where soul and spirit cross over. When you get your soul in agreement with your spirit, with what God says about who you are, because he would know, he created you. Before the foundations of the world, he decided that he loved you, that he wanted you. He decided that he had a plan for you and a purpose to give you a hope and a future to not harm you. He loves you so much that he planned your every day. I love my kids, but I don't know if I could sit down and plan every day of their life. That'd take a long time. I mean, I would for sure give it my best shot because I love them. But God in his all-knowing, in his eternalness and who he is and his goodness, his faithfulness, only he could do something like that. None of us could come close to the good plans and the good thoughts and the good dreams that he has for us. And so your heart needs to be established in these things. If you want to walk out the authority that Pastor Zach talked about last week, it is good stuff, let me tell you. When you understand who you are in Christ and you take your authority, you possess the promise that's yours, but you don't have a hope of walking in authority if you haven't surrendered your heart to God. You can believe on Jesus. I believe that he died for me. But if you want to bring salvation into every area of your life and not just have a ticket to heaven, but have kingdom of heaven living on earth, because that's what Jesus said we could have, then we need to protect our heart with all diligence. We need to receive the Word of God and build our life on it. And how we do that is protecting and keeping our heart. But notice in Luke 6 that your heart is a producer. Whatever you put in it, it grows. This is good news. Because if you don't like what your life is growing, if you don't like what you're speaking, because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you can change. You can change the seed that you're planting in your heart. And you don't have to find the seed. It's in the Word. You don't have to try to come up with really cheesy mantras and cute little motivational quotes that the world emptily gets by with. You have power and life and bread and water available to you. Amen. Don't see it as some cute motivational quote or some chant or mantra to change your life. It's purpose. It's destiny. It's who you are. It's who God is. And when you give your heart to it, it transforms you. So your heart, God's done His part. Spirit's done. There's nothing you need to do except believe on Him. Guys, we got it so easy. We're so blessed that all we have to do is receive the gift of salvation and believe on Him. And the hardest part is over. That Jesus died in our place, all of our sins, all of our sickness, all of our sorrows, all of our grief, nailed to that tree with Him. So I'm not going to bear it. I'm not going to choose to live with it when the Word teaches me how to be more than a conqueror, how to live in the victory that is found in Christ Jesus. I don't want to be found in myself. No, I want to always be in awe and in wonder of my Maker and always find myself in Him, in His presence. And thus begins the journey of renewing your mind, which transforms you, the Bible says in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the ways, the customs, the ideas, the thoughts, the entertainment, the perversion of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's yours. It's yours to possess. How beautiful that no matter what anyone has said to you growing up, no matter the beliefs and the habits and the thoughts that maybe have been tormenting you or making you feel guilty, you can change them. It's your mind. You get to choose what you will think. Now, you don't get to choose every thought that pops in your head, but hallelujah, we can take thoughts captive, the Word says. But we don't just take a thought captive and say, I will not think this, I will not think this, I will not think this. Because then what do? You're focusing on what you're not supposed to think. The Word says you take those thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. Every thought. Don't just wait till you think you know it's a bad one, right? It says take every thought that you have and take it captive and hold it up to the Word of God and see if it's in obedience with who God made you to be and what He says about you and what He thinks about you and how He tells us to live a great life and to build relationships that thrive. It's so important that we know His Word. I hope I've built a strong enough case for us this morning. There's no hope of keeping and guarding your heart. There's no hope of renewing your mind without studying the Word of God every day. And don't let the distractions of this world, don't let guilt or condemnation, don't let the other things that you need to guard. Well, I need to help my kids. I need to guard my bank account. I need to get to my work. He said, above all that you guard, your heart is the most important. And so give it the time. Give it the attention it deserves. And I would encourage everyone to get on a Bible reading plan of some sort. And there's no perfect Bible reading plan. There's no, okay, but which one and which Bible, Eden? And come on, just open it up and start reading it. Do a quick Google search, find out the different plans there are, download the Bible app. It's phenomenal. It'll notify you. It'll bing your phone and tell you what you're reading today, and just begin the habit. If you're not already, I know many of you are, but if you're not in the habit of daily chewing on the Word and reading the Word, how are you supposed to take every thought captive to it? Right? So don't get to the end of your life and wish that you'd had done a better job keeping and guarding your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. And Jesus said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so real life is found in giving him your heart, in surrendering what is so precious. You get to decide what you open your heart up to. In Mark, it says, Jesus said, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. Amen. There is more that God wants you to receive today. There is always more with God. Never get comfortable. Never let yourself think this is all there is. This is as good as my marriage is going to get, because it's not changing. God's not changing it. Well, wake up call. You got to change your heart. You got to ask yourself, am I treating my spouse the way that God's word teaches me to? Am I surrendering all that I am? Is the way that I think that's right to go in my marriage the way that God says he ordained that marriage to go? And what I have found is the better I keep and guard my heart, the persistence to not give up. Because let me tell you, we are not perfect, and some people decide to not even try because of that. That is a lie. That is a thief. That is robbing you of all the possibility and all the potential that is in you. You never quit. You set your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. You are not the perfecter. He is. That is the good news. He knows you're not perfect. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says that God, he doesn't look at man as man does, that he looks at the heart. This is good news, because he doesn't look at your behavior, at your, credit score, or your, when you, at school, when you get your marks, your mark sheet. He doesn't look for all A pluses. He says he looks at the heart. He looks at what you have decided the posture of your heart will be, and then he comes alongside you and heals that heart as you give it to him. I'm so grateful that's how he looks at us, that he doesn't look at our works and look at our behavior and look at all of our actions, but that he looks at the heart and the posture with which we come to him. When we realize, I gotta humble myself, he is God, and I am his child, and he is my loving father, then when you are messed up, when you fall, when you're not happy with yourself, you don't run from dad, you run to dad, because he is your ever-present help in time of need. And these truths, these foundations in the Word of God are essential that you get them into your heart, and you are not going to get enough into your heart just on Sundays. I love Sundays. I love sitting under the Word. There is something so special about church and coming together. Jesus says, where two or three or more are gathered, there I am. He is with us right now. There's something special about his church, because he said he's building it and that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen. And so, I find it so exciting that he looks just at the heart. How do I want to end this? What's so beautiful is someone asked Jesus in the Word, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." It's exciting to find out that you can love God with all of your heart, that there's a relationship with him that he wants to have with you. It's the only reason he made you. It's because he has so much love to give. And what he asks of us, he already has modeled for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, his special, his precious, his only son. What kind of love is that? I wouldn't give my son for anyone. So as a mom, I can come to understand the kind of love he must have for us. I mean, I don't fully understand it, but it brings me to tears as far as I can understand it. It's going to take an eternity for God to show you just how much he loves you. Every waking moment of your life, every breath you breathe, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's given you the victory in Christ Jesus. And if the church could wake up in a new way in 2024 to all that is available to us, if we just keep and guard our heart with all vigilance, all alertness, all wakeness, knowing that if it needs to be guarded, it means it's going to be attacked. Someone wants it. Someone not great. Someone the epitome of evil. The enemy does not want your heart surrendered to God. And so for thousands of years, he's been conditioning the world, conditioning those who are not of God, who are of themselves, who feel that they need to live their way. And so this world has been conditioned to want your heart. Everything out there, entertainment, witchcraft, self-realization, and the self-help, and it's all about glorifying you and surrendering your heart to something that's a lie, that's broken, that's corrupt. But the Word of God helps us wake up to this. And as we walk through life, we can know, nope, I read my Bible every day. So I know that gossip, envy, strife, it doesn't belong in my heart. Offense doesn't belong in my heart. And as you read the Word and as you hear from the stage here, may I encourage you to live a life of repentance. It's the only way to keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. When you find something that you are ashamed of, when you find something that you're disgusted by, when you find something that you're not proud of, you give it to God. And you say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And repentance just means to turn away from your way and to run back to God. Repentance is a change. It's a 180, setting your eyes back on him and returning to your first love. And you can do it as much as you need to, because God's already forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord says he's already forgiven you. Repentance is for your benefit. It's for your heart to know. We're not staying in this muck, in this mess. I don't like this bad fruit. And so I am going to put my big girl pants on. I am going to be accountable for my heart, because there is such goodness in answering the call of God. That he's calling you, saying, "Little one, I am your father. I made you. I know what you're capable of. Stop listening to your thoughts and make my thoughts your thoughts. Stop listening to the feelings that tell you how you should live or how you shouldn't live or what you deserve or what you don't deserve. Who are you?" He is God. And when you surrender your mind, your will, your emotions, when you give him each piece, when you love him with all that you are, it means he wants to be a part of all that you are. And he is the perfect person to be a part of all that you are, the Godhead, because they know you better than anyone ever will, that desire to want to be known, that desire to belong, it's a godly one. It was placed in you from God, and only He can fulfill it. And when we have this revelation that my God takes care of me, He doesn't even call me to take care of myself. Cast your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. When you start reading that Bible every day, yeah, there's going to be some stories that you're like, what in the world? But you just keep at it. Because a relationship is never an arrival. If I ever were to treat my husband like I've arrived and I know him and don't even tell me, I already know what you're going to say. It's boring. It's empty. A relationship is one that moves and grows and has synergy. And what do you think about this? And the relationship with Father God is a place of complete surrender. You can fully surrender your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength to Him. And for some people, the revelation is so large, the change is so radical from the start. For other people, it's piece by piece as they learn to trust Him. And no matter which way you come, just come. Just come to Him. All who are weary, Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you peace. Peace that passes all understanding. How do we guard that heart? How does the soul tie in here? Well, two quick things as we end. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So believing on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as you read your Bible, specifically the New Testament, right? A lot of Paul's teachings on what salvation means and what was given to you at the cross and in His resurrection. And as you begin to see yourself there and you let your whole identity just be changed by Him and knowing who you are, you learn, this is how I live. This is who God is. This is how I function. Okay, a soft answer turns away wrath. And you learn to bite your tongue. You learn to bite it hard. Because out of the abundance, the heart speaks. And as you're changing your heart, you got to guard your mouth at the same time. But thank the Lord that you can choose what to put in there. And as you get revelation, as you open your heart to the words that you hear, Jesus said, more revelation will be given to you. As the same measure, in a different translation, the same measure that you give will be measured back to you as you apply your ear to His word and you go, why would He say that? Why would He say it that way? Okay, what's perfect peace look like? Okay, so guarding my heart, what does that mean? And you read it in a different translation, and you open your dictionary like I did this week to give you some definitions, and it brings something to you. It makes it jump off the page as you study it, as you learn it, because this is my textbook for life. And no one can get in my way of knowing it except me. And I can enjoy Him. Spending time in the Word is spending time with the heart of God. Your heart and His heart. You're having a heart to heart. And if you can begin to get a revelation of that, you'll come running to this in the morning. You'll go, man, coffee? Who needs coffee? I need this first. Right? All those silly t-shirts, but first coffee. Don't talk to me before I have my coffee. Don't talk to me before I talk to God. But first the Lord. But first His word and who He, because He speaks over me and He's blessed me. And I need to know what that blessing is all about. And I want to live that out and I want to pour it on others, because not only does He say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, He then says, and love others as you love yourself. And the greatest fulfillment you will ever have is loving God. And in loving God, in knowing Him, in having a heart-to-heart with Him daily, surrendering your heart in your marriage to Him, surrendering your heart in your feelings, surrendering your heart in relationship turmoil, in your finances, every area, He can handle it. He wants it. The greatest fulfillment you will have as you love Him, you won't be able to help it but lavish His love on others. because you're like, wow, guys, you got to get some of this, right? And that is the beautiful gift that God invented and created, where we can walk with a healed heart. We can protect it. We can guard it. And when we mess up, he can heal it. There's no way we can fail when we find ourselves in Jesus, in his word. He's everlasting. He's unfailing. And you can guard your heart. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So there's a way to keep your mind on Jesus. And the only way you're going to really succeed at this is to fill your mind with him. And I know you don't always have your Bible right at your beck and call, and you might be driving down the road and got some of the worst news of your life. And what I do when my mind runs wild and it's not staying on the Lord, I use my mouth, because your mouth interrupts your thoughts. I learned that from my dad. You want to shut your thoughts up? You speak, you pray, you sing. You speak in tongues. Whatever it is, you glorify God. And so if I'm facing something that I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, I begin to stay my mind on him. I thank you, God, that you are good. I thank you, God, that I know you're faithful, that your word says that you are for me, that your word says that you will keep me in perfect peace, that your word says that I walk in the victory, that I'm more than an overcomer. And I don't know what this situation is all about, but I know that I will always find myself in you. And no matter what the situation, I can speak peace to the storm. And you begin to just speak everything you've been learning, and you begin to possess it. You begin to keep the word in your heart by speaking it, by declaring it, and you stay your mind on him. And you do it for as long as you need to. And you will find it's unlike anything you've ever done to find wholeness, to find strength, to find what you need. Because that's faith. Learning the word, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I have found it's just as powerful when it comes from your own mouth than when it comes from someone on stage or someone you respect, another pastor you listen to on a podcast. Oh, your heart needs to hear you say it. Even if you think it's weird, even if you're not sure you fully believe it yet, just see what it tastes like. Get it out your mouth. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Give it a go. And begin to do it every day and establish your ways in him. I didn't get to it, but if you're taking notes, read Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. And let's pray, because I went way over. God, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you that you are for us. I thank you, God, that you've given us this beautiful heart of ours, that we can protect it, that we can keep it, that it's safe in your hands. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your goodness and this journey of life, that we can literally believe you for every promise, that it's yes, that we can be found and rest in your presence, knowing that you take care of us. And all we need to do is surrender. All we need to do is yield. All we need to do is take accountability for who we are and find ourselves in who you made us to be, Lord. And I thank you that when we take that step of faith, your grace, your power available to us is what makes it happen in our hearts, and it manifests in our life, God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus. You know, all across this room with every head bowed, if you're here today and you'd like to start that relationship with God, you'd like to give your heart to him and to just know who you really are. Know this good, loving God. We'd love to lead you just in a simple prayer of you just believing on Jesus and making him your Savior. And the word says that's it, that it's your will. As you give him your will and you say, man, not my life, but yours. I want your life, God. I want to learn more about you, that his spirit comes and dwells in your spirit. And it's the most beautiful thing ever. If that's you today, we'd love to pray that prayer with you. Would you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with today? As we close the service, thank you. Anyone else? Awesome, thank you. So good. If I didn't see it, thank you. God sees it. Let's pray this together. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son because you love me. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Awesome. Can, yeah, let's congratulate those who prayed that prayer.